righty, hour number two of our radio program coming up an hour 20 from now. Emory Hunt will join us. Does a great job, CBS Sports HQ, as an NFL draft analyst. We'll get all of his post-combine thoughts. Clearly a lot out there today on Shedeur Sanders, how there's a team in the top seven. Sounds like it's the Jets, who did not like the attitude of Shedeur Sanders. I think a lot of this stuff is just ridiculous when it comes to this time of the year, and also with Shedeur Sanders in particular. Also, it's 4 o'clock straight up here on the East Coast, so if you've not tagged someone yet in the NFL, when it comes to the franchise tag, you no longer can. Sam Darnold of the Vikings did not have the tag slapped on him. The Vikings didn't do that. Ian Rapoport says they're still looking at a deal that could maybe work well for both parties. I also believe they'll hand the baton over to J.J. McCarthy, and then Sam Darnold, whether it's Pittsburgh, whether it's the Giants, whether it's the Raiders, he'll be elsewhere next year. Obviously, some NBA news as well. We talked about this resurgence of the Warriors and the Lakers, and would you rather see the Lakers led by LeBron and Luka, Golden State led by Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler, and also Draymond Green? Would you want to see one of those teams come out of the West, or would you like some new blood with the Grizzlies or the Oklahoma City Thunder, or even see, right, the quest for Nikola Jokic to go get his second championship? So we talked about that, and then the unfortunate injury last night, as it just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse for the Dallas Mavericks. First, you lose Luka Doncic. Now you have Anthony Davis on the team, but he's hurt. And now you have Kyrie Irving, who's out for the season with the torn ACL. So just what a bleep show the Dallas Mavericks have been. And that's just an organization that nothing could go right for them. You know, it's weird to group the Kyrie stuff in there because it's an injury. You can't blame the organization for that. I feel weird saying, oh, that's karma for Nico Harrison when you're talking about someone blowing out their knee last night. And I'm not going to do that. But this is a team right now that nothing could just go their way. And Nico Harrison, I think, is a fool. Let me be clear. I think he's an idiot. I think he's a moron. I think he's a dope. And we know to get into one of those positions and his story, he shouldn't be called those words. But geez Louise, to trade Luka Doncic, and that was just marinated in ego and control, it just makes no sense to me. And you trade Luka Doncic for a player and Anthony Davis, who's a top 10 player in the league when he's healthy. The problem is the guy's never healthy. And I know you can say, oh, but last year he was healthy. Okay, that was 1 year. That was an outlier. You don't trade a top 5 player in the league in Luka Doncic, especially when your team just last year was in the NBA Finals. And it's impossible to not think this. And I know he's still an owner, but he's a minority owner. But with Mark Cuban being there, if he was still the majority owner, Mark Cuban once said he would divorce his own wife first before it would ever be getting rid of Luka Doncic. But to see where that team was, where they were at in June of 2024, to now where they are at in March 4th of 2025, and it really started a month ago when they elected to be bozos and trade Luka Doncic, it is surreal. Where, I don't know about you, Stu. There are moments in sports, and right, they could happen the same season. We saw the Mets up 7 games in the NL East with 17 to play, and they choked that to the Phillies. Last year, the Eagles, right, they were 10-1, and they won 1 game down the stretch, and they had a choke, right? There are moments in sports where you fold in a season. But to see where the Mavericks were from last year, being in the championship game, to then, before you even start this postseason, I don't care if they're in it or not, but to see where they have fallen and how much their roster has changed and the direction has changed. You know, I'm not really well-versed. Botcher, you're probably the smartest out of everybody here. No offense, Stu. I'm obviously, if we're going off of the power rankings of intelligence, I would say Botcher's 1, Stu's 2, and then I'm sitting here at 3. Do you follow all this Bitcoin stuff? I feel like you're a big Bitcoin guy.
Wow, that's a harsh assessment. No, I don't.
But no, I'm saying like you're up to date and you know what's going on.
With Bitcoin?
Not yeah, with really. All this like trading stuff and this Fugazi trading stuff.
No.
That's what the Mavericks are, if I understand this correctly. It's like that hot trading coin with Bitcoin that you have all these people pouring money into. Someone sells, they quickly make a buck, and then everyone else is screwed. Like, that's the Mavericks right now. They thought they had something special, and now They have basically nothing to show for it. Very quickly after that, they have very little to show for it after they thought they just had something very special from where they were going back to June, if that makes sense.
They could do like a meme coin.
Meme coin, that's what it is.
Yeah. Didn't the Hawk Tour girl do that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could
And Taylor Mathis, too, right?
I think they both did it. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Like, you make a coin, scam the fan base into believing into it.
Yeah, meme coin. I said Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, same thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the meme coin. The Mavericks were a meme coin. That's what they were. We thought they were really good. Everyone's making money. People are bought in, right?
Yep.
And then Nico Harrison's like, suckers, I'm pulling out. I'm getting rid of Luka, right? Unfortunately, we're going to bump season tickets up 8%. Kyrie then, unfortunately, tears his ACL. And now the team has no... I give you Anthony Davis. Who would be? He's always hurt. And that team has no direction now. If I'm a Mavericks fan, and I saw the videos last night of the fans just getting up in the third quarter, unless if you're getting those tickets for free, or you already spent the money, unfortunately. But like, if you're someone that's saying, hey, you know, I'm in Dallas. What's there to do? Oh, the Mavericks are playing. You're a sucker. You're really a sucker, even if you're investing a dollar for tickets right now. Because that organization traded away a generational player, a guy that's a top five player in the league. I don't like, hey, I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but I will be here. There's a lot of chatter about them maybe moving. You want to have a fan base just not care? Do what the Mavericks have done the last few months. Stu, you're a huge NBA fan. This to me, and I know it worked out for you because your team got Luka Doncic, but it's really disheartening and it's really discouraging to see what Nico Harrison has done with the Mavericks in a few months. It's crazy.
Yeah, if I was a Mavs fan, I'd be livid, and just as a general NBA fan, not a Laker fan, I would be mad too. It's garbage. It's pretty bad because they had a ceiling. Even if this team with Luka, mm-hmm. Kyrie wasn't a champion. I know they just got to the finals.
Yeah.
But you have Luka
Doncic. But even if you had your skepticism, there's at least belief. There's at least hope. You've had some tangible proof that this could work, and you have a guy. You can't name me five players in the NBA better than Luka Doncic. You can't do it.
And plus, you have Luka at DH. He is, even without Kyrie in a few years, I'm sure someone will go there. Yeah. It's Texas, the state tax, all that stuff. They would have had a good chance to get another star and compete for titles.
Do me a favor. Now, we have a history of getting some big names on this show. And I know, right, one of our own, David Shepard, the Good Shepherd, which I'll give you a plug here, obviously. Friday into Saturday, Saturday into Sunday, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time on many of these same Infinity Sports Network affiliates. I know he went for a big fish. Big fish. The biggest fish in the NBA these days in LeBron James. You can't play this song again. I'm sorry. Botcher's going to get me in trouble. That was Ryan. I'm backing up the bus.
What song?
You played up the song that Cap put together yesterday. I played the song. I laughed at it yesterday. I'm moving on from the song. Although I hear there's like five other versions too. You know, you give a mouse a cookie, right? With Kaplan, he asked for a glass of milk and then some other things too. So good job out of Cap. But since Shep requested for LeBron James to join him and then was upset when LeBron James didn't even get back to him for his request, you know what? I'm going to put this on you, Stu. I'm not asking for LeBron here.
Okay.
I want Nico Harrison by the end of the week.
Okay.
And I would ask and tell the Mavericks I'd only ask one question. And you could tell them what my question would be. Hey, Nico, why are you an effing moron? That would be my question. Nico, it's Zach Gelb here, Infinity Sports Network. Why are you an effing moron? What do you mean? You traded away Luka Doncic. How stupid can you be? And then, if he still is on the phone and doesn't, like, pull a Deebo Samuel and, like, run off the air with us, or Warren Sapp walk off the set, I would have one more additional follow-up. And this would be a serious follow-up. Like, the effing moron stuff, you know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, even though I mean a lot of it. Here would be the other follow-up. What's your message to Mavericks fans? Because right now, anyone that's a fan of the Dallas Mavericks should have zero belief in you. They should have zero trust, zero confidence in you. Sell me right. I feel like I'm Jordan Belfort right now. Sell me this pen. Hey, Nico, sell me on why I should believe in you. Because right now, I think you're an effing moron. That's what I would say to Nico Harrison. Do you think we'll get any response from the Dallas Mavericks when we reach out to them.
Think we'll get the same crickets that Shep got.
That was also the funniest part of the whole thing.
Low-key funny part of it.
Do we have the audio, by the way? Can we find that? And then we'll be done talking about Shep and this whole LeBron James thing for the rest of the week. But if you could get me the audio of Shep being upset with the Los Angeles Lakers for not getting back to him when it comes to his request for LeBron James to join him for 3 minutes on an overnight weekend radio program, national radio show, by the way, let me add. This was Shep sounding off, and there's a lot to unpack here, but I thought the funniest was Shep maybe not understanding what hearing crickets means. Go ahead.
My interaction with LeBron James is non-existent. I reached out to the PR people with the Lakers, and I made it very clear to them that I understand LeBron James is not like the coverage that the media gives the NBA, and more specifically, the face of the NBA, whoever he believes that is. And I want to make sure that I do my part in honoring and understanding what LeBron is after, and I would love to have him on our program. Is there any time in the next 2 months that he can join us for 3 minutes, and we can keep it as positive as he wants, and we can honor what it is that he's asking for? And what do you think the response I got was? No, I didn't get that. I got nothing. I got nothing. Nothing. So LeBron James is putting out there to everybody that the media doesn't know how to cover the game, is negative, is critical, is cynical, and yet the people that are in charge of that particular organization, in terms of the relationship with the media, they then don't get back to people that want to do good stories on the Lakers. That's a shame. Can't have it both ways, LeBron. Can't use your soapbox to call out falsely an entire industry. And when that industry then wants to empathize with what you're saying, it's met with a Heisman arm stiff. Not cool.
So there's a lot there. I think the funniest thing, though, unintentionally, was the crickets part. And I could understand, like, you're hosting, right? The board op plays a sound effect, and like you want to just keep on getting to your point, and you may not have been listening to what was actually going there. But I wonder if Shep actually knows what like hearing crickets means. And here's the thing, Stu, maybe I'll defend Shep here for a second. Like, I don't think I would have asked for LeBron James. That's like, you're basically asking for something that you know is not going to happen. It's like right now, if I sent out a request to Beyonce's representatives and said, I'm requesting a date with Beyonce, I would not get a response back. And even if they responded, they would say, hey, Zach, Beyonce declines. Like, even if the Lakers responded to Shep, hey, we appreciate the interest, but we're not going to put him on. But what are you trying to accomplish there? Like, you're going to talk to him for 3 minutes, and what, LeBron's going to say, hey, I think the coverage from the national media is ridiculous. He's already said this stuff. So I don't even get the request, but, right, I'll never fault someone for hustling and trying to get a big name, right? I've had my success with it. But you can't be upset that they didn't get back to you. That's like, why would the Lakers even get back to Shep? You know, I've had tons of teams, and right, that haven't got back to me when I issue. That's just part of it. If a guy's busy, sometimes they don't even get back to you. I think there's something there with Shep and LeBron. I think Shep can't stand, and I may be off base here. I think Shep hates LeBron. Because I remember once when Shep was in studio with us. I forget if he was working on our show, if he was just around the newsroom. And like over, I think this was when I was in the 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time slot. And I've talked about this before. And Shep was like trashing LeBron on the air. And it started an hour of the worst radio ever in terms of a talk topic, in my opinion, where I got calls for the rest of the hour. Who's better, LeBron or MJ? It was the GOAT conversation. And I want to say, I think at the time Shep said LeBron's not even a top five NBA player of all time. So I think Shep, and this was 2-3 years ago, which I still think is crazy to say, I think Shep has some dislike for LeBron James. And hey, I've been there, right? You have a petty agenda. Even if you may be ridiculous in trashing the Lakers for LeBron not getting back to you, or the Lakers not getting back to you, then you go out of your way to just continue that like feud that's really a one-way feud, if you think about it. But yeah. That was from over the weekend, which I did find very funny. So if Shep wants to have LeBron on for 3 minutes, like, what do you think his first question is? Let's say the Lakers go, you know what, Shep, we heard you. We agree with you. You get two questions. We got to know what your two questions are. Botcher, what do you think question number one is from Shep to LeBron?
How are you?
Wow. Could you imagine if...
I feel like that's...
And also, I love Shep, right? I talk a lot. Shep talks a lot. There's no way Shep could only keep LeBron to 3 minutes. Like, Shep just asking one question may take 3 minutes, if we're being honest.
Yeah, but he usually probably would say, like, hey, how are you doing? I know it's late or whatever. I don't know if it's pre-recorded either.
It would definitely be pre-recorded. Yeah. I don't think LeBron is it would be 11 to 3 out west. I don't think LeBron's joining that late. Maybe after a game, though. You never know. So hey, how are you? That's your
that would be the realistic first okay. one.
So then give me the so give me a meat and potatoes question. Like an actual question, not like, hey, how you doing?
Do you think, well, you can't call it a network. Do you think it's, I can't even say, like, higher ups forcing the NBA's media coverage to be bad? Or is it more, I don't know, click driven? Or do you want? Okay. Do you think reporters are trying to make their name, or is it the organizations themselves bringing down
the NBA? Are pushing
it
to the reporters? Yes. Okay, gotcha. Stu, what do you think the question is?
What would you change to make it better, or what would you change to make this not be an issue?
Gotcha. All right. So that's this whole Shep LeBron thing. I want Nico Harrison on, and I want him on just to ask, why are you an effing moron? And why should anyone believe you? Those would be my two questions with Nico. So coming up later this week on the Infinity Sports Network, Nico Harrison is going to join us on Wednesday, and LeBron is going to join Shep on Saturday at 3 in the morning. Right? I'm waiting in great anticipation for both those interviews. Maybe we'll hear crickets from the Mavericks, who may end up being the Las Vegas Mavericks in like 4 years from now, if you believe that conspiracy theory. All righty, well, come on back. What were we supposed to do this segment before we got sidetracked?
Mock draft.
Oh, we were supposed to do mock draft 2.0. Last time, I took the even teams in the top 10. Stu took the odd teams. This time, I'll take the odd teams. Stu will take the even teams. So that means I'll get, oh no, you'll get my team and your team, Stu. 4 and 6. I keep on thinking the Patriots had the third pick in the draft. And by the way, I got to go eat something during the break. I don't know if you guys could catch us twice in the segment. My stomach is growling. Growling. Were you able to hear that on the microphones?
No.
Oh, okay. It just happened about 2 seconds ago. My stomach is just growling. It is like hungry, 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 hungry. But I'm trying not to eat anything from now until 6, because when I go in these seats tonight at the Knicks and Warriors game, then the Delta Club, they're right behind the bench, so that's all free buffet, all that stuff. So I'm going to try not to eat anything during the break, but I'm hungry. I'm really hungry. You know, so. But do we even have vending machines here? I saw they got rid of one of the vending machines around here.
They got rid of the main one. By the entrance.
Oh, you consider that the main one?
I consider
the one in the kitchen the main one.
The tuna one? The tuna stuff?
They have tuna?
There's like some old tuna or something in there.
Who the heck would get tuna from the vending machine? Our boss, by the way, David Marinick, he's a sardine every day. I caught him the other day in the kitchen. He goes, I kind of just go into a corner to eat the sardine because he doesn't want the smell to annoy anybody else. And he had like a special flavored sardine, like a barbecue sardine the other day. So that was my conversation with one of the big bosses around here in David Marinick about the sardines. There's tuna in the vending machines?
There's like, I think there's some type of fish.
So last week, so I don't really carry around cash. I tried to get a protein bar out of the vending machine. They wanted you to spend $10. There was a $10 minimum on the vending machine. I don't need 10 snacks, like a dollar snack. I don't need 10 snacks. So I got annoyed by that. So anyway, I'll shut up. Less of me. We will hear more in the NFL when we come on back. We'll do a little mock draft.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Holy crap. Stu, you'll like this. You know who just texted me? Listening to the show right now. He said, I heard your stomach. You need a cheesesteak, even though you're waiting for tonight's buffet. Hope you're doing well. Any ideas? Who just texted me that?
So cheesesteak makes me think it's someone with Philadelphia ties.
Someone that we know very well. Mutual acquaintance.
Not Perloff?
It is not Perloff. The legendary from the 920 The Jersey days, Old Man Brooks. Al Brooks. Remember him?
I sure do.
The great Al Brooks. How could you forget him? Longtime radio guy. He basically taught me a whole lot when I was working at 920 AM New Jersey. He was like my right-hand man, most reliable person. So he just texted me that. He's listening to the show. Now, I did get a little snack during the break. I looked at my bag. I had $2. So I got some peanuts. So I got some peanuts to hold me over here.
Should have got the tuna.
I was not getting the tuna. I only like tuna from a bagel place. Now, like, if I open up a can of tuna and try to make it myself, I, like, almost want to vomit. But if I go to a tuna place, when I was down in Florida, they had three mini scoops. It was great. They had a platter. You got an everything bagel, and you got three mini scoops. You also got, like, cucumbers, pickles, tomatoes, and onions. And I got three mini scoops of whitefish, tuna, and then also egg salad. It was absolutely delicious. You want any nuts, but you want any of these nuts?
No, I'm good.
You don't want any D's nuts in your mouth? No?
I'm solid.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to eat some peanuts during these breaks. I'm going to eat these nuts. So do you want any of these nuts in your mouth? You good?
I'm good.
Okay. Anyway, cue me up some music here, por favor, some NFL music. We will do a little mock draft, a.k.a. this will be a segment where we will talk some football, and I will eat some of these peanuts on the air. And, Stu, I'm taking the odds, and you're taking the evens. Is that how we're doing
this? That's right. Yep. Different than last time.
Trade alert. I'm having a pick. What did you think I said there?
I thought there was an actual trade in real life.
I'm having the Giants in a move of desperation move up to one. I think the Giants end up swapping picks with Tennessee. They give up a third and a second to move up to one. And I have the New York Football Giants with the first overall pick of the draft taking Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami.
Okay, at number two with the Browns, so this is tricky. On one shoulder, I have Adam Schefter and his belief that the Browns will draft a quarterback with that second pick. And on my other shoulder, I'm kind of listening to some of the scuttlebutt that we've heard for the last couple days about Shedeur Sanders. So it's tough, but I still think the Browns take Shedeur. I think he goes number two, so that's my pick, is Shedeur Sanders going second to Cleveland.
Wow. I thought this was going to be easy. I thought, even though I was the one throwing out what Schefter said the other day, that the Browns are definitely taking a quarterback and that does weigh on me. I thought for sure you were taking Abdul Carter there. And then I would have put Tennessee taking Travis Hunter because they passed up on the quarterback. So Tennessee falling back to three. Giants getting Cam Ward one. You have the Browns taking Shedeur Sanders two. I'm then going to say they go with the pass rusher. I think Abdul Carter's the best player in this draft. Give me Tennessee taking Abdul Carter in at number three. All righty, what do my Patriots got cooking here at four, Stu?
So this looks pretty good for you because, I guess Abdul Carter would have been the ideal guy there, but I think Travis Hunter fits you guys very nicely.
You're not going with Will Campbell?
I'm
you
not.
You know, if these nuts were right there, I don't know if Will Campbell could reach him with those short arms.
He might not be able to. I did want to give you tiny arm Will Campbell, but I will give you Travis Hunter. I think he might be the best player to draft, and if you get him at four, that's pretty great for you guys.
All righty, now things get interesting. So Giants, Cam Ward, Brown, Shedeur Sanders, Tennessee, Abdul Carter, New England with Travis Hunter. Now I have my next pick, which are the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm thinking Mason Graham here. I am. But now with Will Campbell being there, would they go offensive lineman? Could they go McMillan, the wide receiver, Arizona? But they just, and maybe you go the 1-2 punch because you got the kid from LSU and Brian Thomas. I don't think they go wide receiver. I think they go best player available. Mason Graham, I think, is going to be a stud in the NFL, and they continue to beef up that defense. You got Josh Hines-Allen. You got Trayvon Walker, who's been up and down from a few years ago. I think they take Mason Graham to really figure out the middle of that defensive line. So give me Mason Graham.
Okay, at six.
By the way, eating peanuts on the air
tough.
And then trying to talk.
Yeah.
Very tough. Very tough. This is not good. I picked the wrong snack here. I think I should have gone with the cookies.
Not the tuna.
Yeah, definitely not the tuna. If I ate the tuna from the vending machine, first off, I think I would be sick on the air. I think there's a chance that I may be out the rest of the week and maybe out for the rest of my life. I think I could be dead eating vending machine tuna. Yuck. That sounds disgusting. And how do you know if that stuff's even good? Like, that's got to be in that. Who gets the vending machine tuna? I know we work with some sick son of bitches around here, but who actually, how long has that vending machine tuna been in there?
It's a gamble. It doesn't, I don't think it's moved in like a year.
How much money would it cost me to pay you to try the vending machine tuna?
Nope. I prefer living.
$1,000?
I prefer living.
$1,000?
I prefer living.
Sue, so that offer's on the table for you because I know you would take it.
I would take it.
$100 though?
100? No. Not 100. That's not worth it.
200?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would think about it.
Could be worth it. Could be worth it for the YouTube views. Anyway, who do you have your Raiders going?
So this is a spot where I could see them maybe going offensive line.
For like a minute and a half here so I could eat some of my
Okay, so I could
here.
See them going offensive line. I could see them maybe drafting Will Campbell here. Tete or McMillan does feel like a guy that they would target just with his speed, and there is a need of receiver. So
Do it for Al.
Yeah, I think McMillan would be the pick. If Sanders isn't there, that's who I think they would go with.
Can I throw something by you here?
Sure.
Just a thought. Would you consider, with the reports that they're going to trade Michael Mayer, would you consider Tyler Warren here or Ashton Jeanty? Just wondering.
I just think they have way too many needs to use the sixth pick at either a second tight end or a running back. I don't think they could do
Bowers
that.
Brock Bowers, who's a stud.
Yeah, if they traded back and got some more picks, I could see it, but I think they just need way too much.
Okay. So Cam Ward 1 to the Giants, Shador Sanders 2 to the Browns, Abdul Carter 3 to the Titans, Travis Hunter 4 to the Patriots, Jaguars Mason Graham, and then McMillan going to the Raiders. How do you say his first name? For some reason, I just have a mind block, and I can't ever say his first name correctly.
Tete Aaron.
Tete Aaron?
Yeah. That's how I've heard it.
Okay.
It could be wrong.
Gotcha. Well, then the Jets are sitting there at 7. The Jets need a lot of help. They could use offensive line. There's not a quarterback available because it's Cam Ward and Shador Sanders are off the board. I don't think they're taking Ashton Jeanty because they have Breece Hall. You have arguably the two best receivers off the board with McMillan off the board and Travis Hunter. I'm going tight ends here. I thought the Jets last year should have bid in on Brock Bowers. They were not. So I'm going to say this year they're in on Tyler Warren with the 7th pick of the draft. All right, let's go to 8 with the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, I think Will Campbell here makes sense. I just think despite the criticism that he got this weekend, I think this is too far for him to fall. So
it's not a reach here.
I don't think it's. Yeah, I don't think it's a reach here. I think Campbell, you know, give Bryce Young a little protection up front. They need a lot as well, but I feel like that could be a good start for them.
So this is where it gets interesting, because then I have the Saints, and could the Saints go Shamar Stewart, whose stock is now rising from Texas A&M? Could they take Mikel Williams from Georgia? I'm going to go with Jalen Walker here. Now, I saw in a mock draft him going 6 to the Raiders. If he's still available here at 9, I think that's pretty good. I will take Jalen Walker here for the New Orleans Saints. And finally, Stu, I guess what offensive lineman do you have the Bears taking here? Or do you have them taking a running back?
No, I think offensive line makes sense. I think Kelvin Banks, it's between him and the Missouri guy.
Yeah. Well, his stock is now rising.
Yeah, he had a good weekend. I think Kelvin
Lance
Banks is...
Lance Zierlein, by the way, has the Missouri tackle as the 4th overall pick to the Patriots.
Wow. That'd be fascinating. I think Kelvin Banks. I think he's the Bears guy.
Okay. So no Ashton Jeanty in the top 10. 2 quarterbacks right off the board, 1-2. Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter go 3-4, but the final mock draft... Or not the final. Mock draft 2.0. I took the odds. Stu took the evens. Giants trading up to 1 to get Cam Ward. Brown, Shador Sanders, Tennessee getting Abdul Carter, New England, Travis Hunter, Jaguars going with Mason Graham out of Michigan, Raiders taking McMillan, the receiver out of Arizona, Jets getting the big tight end and Warren, Tyler Warren, Panthers getting Will Campbell, Jalen Walker going to the Saints, and then Kelvin Banks Jr. going to the Chicago Bears. All righty, this is Zach Gelb showing the Infinity Sports Network. We'll come on back. We'll do a news brief next. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And this portion of the extravaganza is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage and no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states, so I had some peanuts during the last segment, so I'll fill up the tummy a little bit before I make my way to Madison Square Garden for Knicks and Warriors tonight. I'll be eating a lot of food with some of the food access that I'll be granted tonight at the big buffet that they have. So you can follow me on social media. Maybe we'll do some behind the scenes there at Zach Gelb, Twitter and Instagram. And I'll show you the copious amounts of food that I'll be filling up and eating up tonight, which I'm looking very much forward to that. But Bella B in Calgary, when she heard me bitching about how hungry I was, said, just drink a cup of coffee. I don't know about you, Stu. I drink coffee to wake up. I drink coffee to get my brain going. I don't drink coffee when I'm jonesing for a snack or I think I'm hungry, right?
No, that's not a hungry thing for me. I want food.
Oh, you gave up coffee, though, recently.
And I have given up coffee, so now I'm definitely not.
Cold turkey, you just quit it.
Yeah, I just got it.
How's that going, by the way? You miss it?
No, not really.
Okay. Botch, are you a coffee guy?
Only, I'm trying to stay only on emergencies, a.k.a. overnights.
So anytime you work here?
Basically.
You're an energy drink guy? I can see you being an energy drink guy.
I was into the Celsius when they get like the free ones here.
Yeah, okay.
But not anymore.
I can see you just like pounding energy drinks and you're driving home from work and a bunch of screamo music just going nuts.
Well, that's half right. No energy drinks, though.
But the screamo music, yes.
Yeah,
you come off to me as someone that listens to a lot of screamo music. Anyway, let's listen up to Peter Schrager on where the quarterbacks will land in this draft. This courtesy of our friends at the Dan Patrick Show that used to have Andrew McMuffin on that show. Whatever happened to that guy? Listen up.
I think Cam Ward is solidified right now as the number one quarterback in this draft. And I have to make sure that everyone hears this and that Dion hears this. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in this draft. He will be the first quarterback selected in this draft. And that's how it's looking going into pro days and free agency and the rest. Shador is likely 2. Jackson Dart is likely 3. And then we don't know where that 3 is. Is that as early as 7 to the Jets? Or is that 34 to the Giants?
I don't know. If Jackson Dart goes in the top 15 picks of the draft, you know what? Let me not do what a lot of other people do. And let me not give a hot take. Okay? Let me pull up the draft order here. Because I have to, even though I would not use a first round pick on Jackson Dart, I could at least see him being a first round pick. If Tennessee, Cleveland, the Giants, the Patriots, the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Jets, the Panthers, the Saints, the Bears, the Niners, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Colts, the Falcons, the Cardinals, the Bengals, if the first 17 picks of the draft are used on Jackson Dart, I would anticipate Zach Gelb yelling. All right? Like, the first team maybe that I could be like, okay, is Seattle. But even then, I wouldn't do it. I would go get someone better than Geno Smith. I don't know if Jackson Dart's going to be better than Geno Smith. But that's like the first team that I looked at. I said, okay, I wouldn't be irate. I don't. 7 potentially for Jackson Dart? Could you imagine the Jets take Jackson Dart at 7? That would give me a good laugh. Here is Kirk Herbstreit. He was asked on the Pat McAfee show, should the Vikings go with J.J. McCarthy or should they bring back Sam Darnold?
Think about what Kirk Cousins did at his age in that offense. And now picture Kirk Cousins at 23 or 24 with mobility. What J.J. McCarthy did for Michigan to get them over the hump in 21, you never know with quarterbacks, but watching these guys and watching the intangibles, putting KOC with J.J. McCarthy and the talent on that roster, to me, the Vikings go to another level with J.J. McCarthy.
I think there's more upside. I do with J.J. McCarthy. Now, it may not work as well as Sam Darnold did this year, but I do think there could be more upside. If you look at who has a higher ceiling? Is it Sam Darnold or is it J.J. McCarthy? I would say it's J.J. McCarthy and he's going to cost you a whole lot less. So I would just start that time ticking away with J.J. McCarthy. Let's go to Dan Orlovsky on what Deebo Samuel and this move and this trade means for the Washington Commanders is on NFL Live.
I do think that Washington is fascinating, though, MK, because of this. And I loved Washington last year. I want to give them their flowers and credit them. I also don't think that they can fall into the trap thinking they're that close. 5 wins on the last play of the game, essentially, that's not likely in the NFL. And so while they're encouraged and intriguing, they're not one move, one Deebo Samuel away from chasing down Philadelphia. There are still flaws in this roster that they got to have a very much so like attack mindset and not resting on the success of last year mindset.
I think he's right. I would anticipate regression this year for the Commanders. That doesn't mean they're going to have a bad season. But am I going to sit here and tell you that the Commanders are going to be in the Super Bowl this year? No, that's improvement because you were just in the NFC Championship game. Now, could you have a better regular season and then fade off in the postseason? I do guess that is possible. But I expect the Commanders to be the second best team in the NFC East. Let me be clear, NFC East. I know I paused there for a second. I think they're a top five team in the NFC. I still believe the Eagles are better. The Lions are better. I would also say the Rams are better. And I could even go maybe the Niners too. Right? Like if I'm going to tell you the Commanders are in the top five, those four teams and then the Commanders would be the top five right now. That's the way I would look at it. But I think what this Deebo Samuel move does, and Dan's right, there's still a lot more moves to be made, but it sets the tone. We're not happy with what just happened last year. Like, obviously, we're happy what happened, but we want more. And we're still going to be aggressive. And we're not just going to rest on the laurels of, oh, well, we have Jaden Daniels. Oh, we got Scary Terry and Terry McLaurin. Oh, we got Brian Robinson. We're not just going to rest on that. We're going to go make a move early. We're going to go make a move before other teams are making moves. And we're going to show you this new regime with Adam Peters, Josh Harris, and Dan Quinn. We're not going to leave any stone unturned. And we're going to be in on everyone. It doesn't mean we're going to get everyone, but we're going to set the tone. The first appetizer came out, and it's a delicious appetizer, right? It's like when you're at the Commanders getting Deebo. It's like you're at a wedding, and the first thing that just came out for the appetizers on the trays was like, let's see what I would compare Deebo to. I would say it was like some fancy, like, shrimp with, like, a really good sauce. Like, ooh, it's good, right? Sets the tone. Nice. But you're still waiting for the pigs in the blanket to come out. You're still waiting for maybe some sort of beef to come out. But you're intrigued, and you know that it's going to be, you know, the start of a good night. That's what Deebo Samuel is to me. There's some wear and tear. He's not Deebo Samuel from a few years ago. I saw LeSean McCoy saying he's like the best player in the NFL. I don't know what he's talking about. But it was a good move, and it's a nice additional piece here for the Washington Commanders. All righty, let's listen up to the McShay Show. I've never heard a GM talk about it this way, but I can't say he's wrong. Here is Howie Roseman on the difference between his first Super Bowl, and you always remember your first, and his second Super Bowl that he just won a few weeks ago. Go ahead.
So I'd say like the first one's almost like, can I say this? Bob? Yes, can we delete this? Is this live? You don't know what I'm saying? You don't know
no,
what
this
I'm
is the best part. You can be
it's,
you.
It's almost like the first time you have sex. You're so glad you had sex. It's not even the quality of it. The second perfect. Time.
That's actually great.
The second time, it's like, wow, I could actually have fun and enjoy this.
I've never thought about it that way. And as someone that has won a lot of championships, you always remember your first. I wouldn't, though, necessarily say, like, when you win your first Super Bowl, you're like, all right, I'm just glad I got that out of the way. But when you are in the bedroom, little bam, chicken, went, went time, when you go back to remembering your first time, I do feel like there's a lot of anxiety and there is a lot of pressure, right? There's a lot of thoughts that are going on in your head. Howie Roseman after dark. Zach Gelb after dark right now. Maybe we should reach out to the Eagles. Hey, we want to pitch you on a new show, Howie. You want to come on a late night radio program? Can't get LeBron, but we'll get you Howie Shep. How about that? Howie after dark. In the bedroom with Howie Roseman. Just one question a week about bedroom experiences with Howie Roseman. But I kind of get what Howie Roseman's saying there. For the second time, you're a little bit more experienced. You know what you're kind of expecting, and maybe you can enjoy it more, is what Howie's going at. Alrighty, let me get to Kendrick Perkins. Since everyone in the national media says not so nice things, according to LeBron James, here is Kendrick Perkins admitting on First Take that he thinks LeBron James is better. You know what? When I first read this, I saw a J and I just assumed it. I saw a J and I thought it was just Michael Jordan. This is over Nikola Jokic? That's what this is? Alright, I haven't heard this yet. Kendrick Perkins thinks LeBron James is better than Nikola Jokic. Go ahead.
Are we sure that Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league? Are we sure about that? Because I would have to argue, and I would have to say right now, today, that LeBron James is the best player in the NBA. Here's why I say it. The best player in the NBA gets it done on both ends of the floor. LeBron James is getting it done at the age of 40 on both ends of the floor at a high level. He could guard 1-5 defensively. Offensively, we know what he could do. Damn it, he could damn near play 1-5. I would argue if they need him to play the center position, he's the second best center in the Western Conference behind Nikola Jokic, especially with Anthony Davis and Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively being out for the Dallas Mavericks. What LeBron James is doing at a high level on both ends of the floor still to this day, I would have to say right now, he's the best player in the NBA.
It's a fair take. I personally think Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA. Some people may say it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he's the favorite to win the MVP right now. Stu, what's your answer? You being a big basketball savant. Who's the best player in the NBA right now?
I think it's Jokic.
Okay. Finally, let's hear Chad Johnson. He was on First Take on the two most difficult things in life. I wonder what this could be. Go ahead.
The two most difficult things in life are hitting the baseball and keeping a woman happy long term. The two most difficult things in life. You hear me?
It's a great line. The second part, definitely true. The first part, hitting a baseball. Now, I'm assuming that you issue the caveat like at like 99 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, not just going to some machine that slow pitches it to you at 35. But even if you go like try to hit a 70 mile per hour fastball or an 80 mile per hour fastball, one of those machines, not the easiest thing to do. So I think that Chad Johnson's in the right ballpark there. The two most difficult things in life. Keeping a woman happy long term. And then also hitting a baseball. I'm telling you, eating these peanuts earlier was a big mistake. This is not good. Always eating on the air could be tricky. Very tricky. Not that like one time I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings doing a remote and I tried the Blazing Hot Challenge and then I still had an hour left in the show. But the peanuts, they're annoying. They're definitely annoying. All right, we're coming on back. Overreaction, proper reaction. Next, Emory Hunt will join us to a little draft talk at 522.